out of this world. Run fast, don't stand in the sun. There's too much work to be done. You're down, you're down, you're down. You're down and out of this world. Don't ever talk with your eyes. Be sure that you compromise. You're dead, you're dead, you're dead. You're dead and out of this world. Hear the unloved weeping like rain. Guard your sleep from the sound of their pain. Long gone, long gone, long gone. Long gone and out of this world. When you smile and it tears your face, it's time for the inhuman race. You're down, you're down, you're down. You're down and out of this world. Now your hope and compassion is gone. You've sold out your dream to the world. Stay dead, stay dead, stay dead. You're dead and out of this world.
You're listening to the Cinematic Asylum on CILU 102.7 FM. I'm Layman Pascal. You just heard Norma Tenga singing You're Dead from the soundtrack to the New Zealand mockumentary What We Do in the Shadows. Based on that one piece of information, see if you can guess what the theme of today's show is. Meanwhile, here's the Count from Sesame Street.
You know that I am called the Count, because I really love to count. Sometimes I sit and count all day. But sometimes I get carried away. I count slowly, 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 getting faster. Once I start in counting, it's very hard to stop. Hey, faster, faster, it is so exciting. I could count forever, count until I drop. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, I love counting, whatever the amount. One, two, three, four. Hey, 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 hey. One, two, three, four. One, two, that's a song of the count. I count the spiders on the wall. I count the cobwebs in the hall. I count the candles on the shelf. When I'm alone, I count myself. Oh, yeah. I count slowly, 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 getting faster. Once I start in counting, it's very hard to stop. Faster, faster, it is so exciting. I could count forever, count until I drop. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, I love counting, whatever the amount. One, two, three, four. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. One, two, three, four. One, two, that's his song.
Everybody be cool. You be cool.
Hot air hangs like a dead man from a white oak tree. People sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night. It's a dark night. Dark. Dark night. It's a dark night.
such a dark night. He took her to the outskirts. He pledged his love to her. They thought it was their secret, but someone knew. Things didn't happen anymore. I thought all that blood had been shed long ago. Dark night. It's a dark night.
And we're back. First, you heard the Song of the Count from Sesame Street, and then Dark Night from the Blasters off the Dusk Till Dawn soundtrack. If you haven't guessed by now, this episode of the Cinematic Asylum is entirely devoted to vampires. And admittedly, the Count from Sesame Street is only a quasi-vampire, but this show is all about quasi. I am the Count. 1, 2, 3 Hindu Arabic numerals. Oh, I love that fake accent. I want to suck your blood. I want to suck your blood. I want that. That is what I want. Yeah. What kind of preposterous accent is that? I'm starting to think the original popularity of vampires was just an excuse to make fun of Eastern Europeans. And why not? Unlike modern civilized cities like London, Paris, and New York, the backwoods regions of Transylvania, Serbia, Estonia, Macedonia, Slovenia, Russia, they're all hotbeds of decadent, archaic culture, atavistic thinking, and horrifyingly backwards and satanic occult darkness. I mean, these people foolishly got themselves descended from the Byzantine Empire rather than the much nicer and cleaner Western Roman Empire. They're all scented with a whiff of Turkish conquest and the stink of Islamic fanaticism that haunts their crumbling castles and creepy caverns. No wonder these soft-headed Borats and Zizeks fell willingly to the communist oppressors. They side with life against death and are nothing more or less than Thanatos incarnate. Or if they aren't, then early British and American vampire movies have lied to me, but that doesn't sound right. You're listening to the Cinematic Asylum on LURadio.ca and 102.7 FM in Thunder Bay, Ontario. I'm Layman Pascal III, and here is the only song I can even half tolerate from the Twilight soundtrack. I think it's the scene where the sexy teen vampire and werewolf go 10-pin bowling and have like an orange soda or something. I have not seen the movie.
Cause I thought you had a strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are running when you're down, when you're strange. Faces come out of the rain when you're strange. No one remembers your name when you're strange.
You just heard Bell Brigade from the movie Twilight, and then Echo and the Bunnymen covering the Doors song When You're Strange from the soundtrack to the Kiefer Sutherland Corey Feldman vampire action comedy The Lost Boys. Clearly, our species has a fascination with the figure of the Dark Knight. Batman, benevolent serial killers, vigilantes, and of course vampires. Tortured noblemen and exotic ladies who move in the shadows, capable of things that are beyond the ordinary individual. A very romantic figure, a very ambiguous figure. An anti-hero or quasi-hero moving through the darkness, making their own rules, ready to interact with people in a thousand strange and passionate ways. Somehow always trying to get their mouths on your neck, that's an interesting part. Why the neck? Yes, it's one of those places where we can see blood pulsing at the surface, but it's not that hard to get blood from almost any part of the body, especially if you have supernatural teeth. I guess for me the thing about the neck is probably that it's something like an erogenous zone. We have increased sensual stimulation on the skin in that area. One of the things old Dr. Wilhelm Reich originally got in trouble for was hooking people's body up to electrodes in the 1920s, and he did find there's a much greater fluctuation in physical electricity on the surface of the skin in areas that we think of as erogenous zones. Throats, lips, inner wrists, earlobes, genitals, things like that. In these areas, the electrical potential seems to fluctuate a great deal more than normal. When we relax in these areas, electric charge goes up significantly, and when we tense, that charge withdraws away from the skin to our inner organs. It's like they're doorways to life energy, metaphorically, or whether we think about it as more than a metaphor, as some actual electrochemical process, like Reich and the yogic masters did, postulating some additional form of energy that has specific effects on living bodies. We don't need to do that, but I feel my fingers tingling just talking about it. Here's Lee Dorsey with Give It Up.
I roll, I feel cool, always back with cool, just in case. My brother acts like I need the energy. I'm not thinking short. I don't know when I'm on the dance floor. You're busy, boy, like you never saw before. One flow, good to go. For 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 one flow, good to go. After the show, I put your whole boy. You slip flow. Hell no, I have my whole life ahead of me. No time to be slipping. My parents find out, then they start riffing. So I stay A-OK, cause I'm the E, the R-I-C-K. Just look me in my face, then the eyes get weak. Pulse rate to six, heartbeat increases. It's like, beam me up, Scotty. I control your body, I'm as deadly as eight. When it's time to rock a party, with all due respect. When I see my check, let us suck a slide once. Then I break the snap rate, so let's say jump. You would fall high, because I'm taking no prisoners. So don't play hero and die, you're just a soldier. And I'm a good boy. I do not do twice about the MCs I slay. So if you want a battle, I highly recommend you speak your door while I die. Because I'm tripping business.
We're back on the Cinematic Asylum. I'm Layman Pascal, and first you heard Lee Dorsey's Give It Up from the HBO vampire soap opera True Blood, and then EPMD's song Strictly Business from the soundtrack to the movie Blade. Blade, as you probably know, was the first film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and for most of us, probably the first time we ever saw a black guy fight vampires, and for me, the first time I ever saw Kris Kristofferson. I'm still not entirely sure who that guy is. My uncle, an economist, thinks that zombies are the way that the rich see the poor, and vampires are the way that the poor see the rich. I like it. It's as good as Marx in anchoring our cultural superstructure to our material base, and it explains why vampires and zombies seem to get more popular as economic disparity grows worse. But I think it falls short of a comprehensive multidimensional evaluation. It leaves out things like why we have to shoot zombies in the forehead where the prefrontal cortex is located, but we have to stake vampires in the heart. Are we attacking their specific strengths or their weaknesses? Are vampires capable of more emotional passion than the ordinary person, and that's what gives them their power? Or are they heartless monsters? Here's Slim Harpo. He'll let us know with Strange Love.
Strange love, cutest thing I ever seen. You remind me of something that I have seen in a dream. Can I take you out to dinner? Some place where we can be alone. Can I take you out to dinner? Some place where we can be alone. Tell you how much I love you. Then let me hold you in my arms.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
The Foundry at 242 Red River Road, open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Monday to Saturday, featuring folk in Mondays, karaoke Tuesdays, trivia Wednesdays, open stage Thursdays, and live music weekends. Find out more at thefoundrypub.com. the Thunder Bay Symphony Orchestra. Log on to tbso.ca or call 626-TBSO for details on the 2019-2020 season and how to get tickets. The Lakehead University Student Union, promoting action, advocacy, and service by bringing you student centers. Learn more by visiting their office in the tunnels of the student center or by logging on to lusu.ca.
My dying time will tell.
Before the break, you heard Slim Harpo's Strange Love from the True Blood soundtrack. And then after, you heard When I Die from The Heavy, also True Blood soundtrack. Now let me ask you this. What do you think of when you think of stoking? Personally, I envision a hearty, soot-covered 19th century English lad shoveling coal into the insatiable maw of an industrial steam engine. That lad, as far as I am concerned, is the quintessential stoker. The stoker par excellence. But today I'd like to talk to you about a different stoker, a Bram Stoker. That's the dude what wrote Dracula. And if you haven't read it, it's what they call an epistolatory novel. It means the book is almost entirely made of letters and journal entries. You have to piece the story together as you go. It's actually kind of a fun read. Maybe you've seen the film Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is actually Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, with Anthony Hopkins, Winona Ryder, Gary Oldman, Keanu Reeves, Tom Waits, and even Wesley from The Princess Bride, basically everybody who was famous in the early 90s. Even though I was little when it came out, actually it was not the first Bram Stoker film I ever saw. You see, my friend Russ lived in a pig shack on Salt Spring Island, and I used to stay with him from time to time. He'd borrowed Randy Bachman's guitar from a party and not given it back, so we would stay up late listening to messages on his answering machine that were, "Yeah, this is Randy Bachman again, just trying to get that guitar back." Hilarious. Anyway, one night we rented a film from the Fulford Harbor video store. It was called Burial of the Rats. It was a Roger Corman film. If you don't know Roger Corman, he made dozens of low-budget feature films with gallons of fake blood, corny dialogue, and topless women. He made these movies for such a low initial investment that he made money on every single one of them. One of them was Bram Stoker's Burial of the Rats, an adaptation of an actual story by Bram Stoker. Instead of being a compelling drama about an immortal Carpathian nobleman invading the souls of Londoners, it's about a young writer named Bram Stoker. And Bram gets trapped in the sewers beneath London and enslaved by the cruel and mysteriously scantily clad rat women, forced to become the scribe of the Rat Queen. It's a terrible movie, but also fabulous in some strange way. You can just imagine this guy writing out this story about himself. It's his complete sewer fantasy world. I don't recommend that you watch it, but I do recommend that you remember it exists. In the meantime, Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1992 features an acting performance by Tom Waits as the real estate lawyer who's gone mad, eating bugs in his padded cell, trying to absorb life energy to serve his unholy master, Dracula. Here's Tom Waits explaining where you should be situated relative to a mule.
Jimmy the Harper with a hard little pistol and a lariat. She going to the bottom and she going down the drain. Said she wasn't big enough to carry it. She got to get behind the mule, yeah. In the morning and plow, yeah. Got to get behind the mule. In the morning and plow. You got to get behind the mule. Chop with the axe in the woods. You got to meet me by the fall down tree. A shovel of dirt upon a coffin lid. And I know they come looking for me, boys. I know they come looking for me. Got to get behind a mule, yeah. Trail from Atchison to Placerville on the record. of the Weaverville stage. Beautified, waiting for a lemonade. I was stirring my brandy with a nail, boys. Stirring my brandy with a nail. Got to get behind the mule in the morning and proud. Get behind the mule. You got to get behind the mule, morning and plow, yeah. Get behind the mule, morning and plow. The widow James, Jack the Cutter, and the pockmarked kid. They had to stand naked at the bottom of the cross and tell the good Lord what they did. And tell the good Lord what they did. You got to get behind the mule, yeah, in the morning and plow. Get behind the mule, yeah, in the morning and plow. You got to get behind the mule. On the power line in the Studebaker with Birdie Joe a hoax. I'm digging all the way to China with a silver spoon while the hangman fumbles with the noose. Boy, the hangman fumbles with the noose. You got to get behind the mule in the morning and plow. Get behind the mule. Pin your ear to the wisdom post, pin your eye to the line. Never let the weeds get higher than the garden. Always keep a sapphire in your mind. Always keep a diamond in your mind. You got to get behind the mule, morning and plow. Got to get behind the mule, in the morning and plow. Got to get behind the mule. In the morning, they'll plow. Got
could I do? Well, no one told me about her, but they all knew. And it's too late to say you're sorry. How would I know? Why should I care? Please don't bother trying to find her. She's not there.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Cinematic Asylum on CILU 102.7 FM. First, you heard Tom Waits' advice about where to be situated relative to mules, and then Dick Israel and the Soothsayers covering the Zombies' classic She's Not There from the True Blood soundtrack. Blood for breakfast, blood for lunch. 10 bonus points to anybody who knows that quote and the TV show that it's from. Let's talk about blood for a minute. In vampire movies, blood is life itself. And of course, that's a reasonable metaphor. We'd be dead without blood. But then again, we wouldn't exist without sperm and would die without oxygen and water as well. There are a lot of options for symbolizing life, so why choose blood? Well, one answer is it represents our fetishistic obsession with heredity, bloodlines, and lineages. What do you think? Is heredity a sensible idea or a ridiculous neurotic fantasy? The fetish worshippers and neo-Darwinists seem to think there's an ironclad logic to sexual reproduction and the war of genetic information modules to replicate themselves down through the centuries. Or at least the types of life forms that have survived over history have obviously tended to be those which tend to pass themselves on. And as a result, the ones we have today are highly disposed to express their primal drive, whatever that might be, in the form of survival and reproduction, even though that might not be the actual primal drive. So maybe bloodlines are eventually the most dominant form of the organization of life. But it's hard to believe that when we look at most forms of inheritance. It's hard to imagine sometimes a dumber idea than a king passing his throne on to one of his children. Even in the unlikely case that that king was a great political leader, the odds that his eldest son just happens to be a great political leader are extremely low. In ancient Rome, there was a period of time called the Reign of the Five Good Emperors, a time of tremendous improvement in the fortunes of the old empire. And people think it was mostly because the emperors started picking healthy, capable successors rather than turning over the entire success of human civilization to whomever happened to share their bloodline. Maybe the blood logic of vampires is not a reflection of nature, but a reflection of our own perverse and unnatural obsession with organizing the world by bloodlines, even if it kills us. You're listening to CILU 102.7.
Stolen many men's soul and faith. slightest moment of doubt and pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. I stuck around St. Petersburg. When I saw it was a time for a change. I killed the Tsar and his ministers. At a station, screaming vain. I rode a tank, held a general's rank. When the blitzkrieg rained and the bodies stank.
You just heard the Guns N' Roses cover of Sympathy for the Devil from the final scene of Anne Rice's movie Interview with a Vampire. Looks like we've come to the end of all things. I've been Layman Pascal, and this is the Cinematic Asylum. After Alan Ball revolutionized TV with the show 6 Feet Under, he tried his hand at turning the Southern Vampire Chronicles novels into a show with gory, sexy fun and a small-town soap opera with heavy political allusions for a world contemplating the decriminalization of vampirism. From the beginning of every episode of that show, here's Jace Everett's opening theme, Bad Things.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. I'm the kind to sit up in his room, heart sick and eyes filled up with blue. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you.
As the COVID-19 pandemic continues to spread, it is important to stay safe. Coronavirus is now in Canadian provinces and territories. By law, if you have traveled abroad recently, you must self-isolate. To do your part, stay home as much as possible and practice social distancing. Try to maintain at least 2 meters away from others. Encourage those who are sick or showing symptoms to self-isolate or to seek medical attention. As always, wash your hands frequently, avoid touching your face, and practice good respiratory etiquette by covering your coughs and sneezes. Clean regularly used surfaces. COVID-19 symptoms can mimic colds and flu and include fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. Infected individuals may also have mild symptoms or none at all. For up-to-date information, check reliable sources like your local health authority or the Public Health Agency of Canada.
CILU is sponsored in part by the students of Lakehead University, our listeners, and our sponsors. At this time, we would like to thank the following sponsors for their continuous support.
Signal Resources Limited, Thunder Bay's locally owned and operated audio-visual professionals. Contact them about your next multimedia event or installation at 807-475-9341 or at signalresources.com. The Thunder Bay Community Auditorium. Find them at tbca.com to purchase tickets and find out all of the details on their upcoming events. Vox Popular Media Arts Festival, located inside Trinity Hall at 310 Park Avenue. Join the fun every September for the annual Media Arts Fest, entering its 16th year in 2020.
1, 2, 3, 4. right. Why do you know? Just me and the big CD. Blue jeans and a digital watch and a lot of other modern accessories. Slap bang across the street, little copy and a Toblerone. Ooh, American shoes, giving money to a brother on a saxophone. Name, have I seen you on TV? Okay, what do you do? Do you work for the telephone company? Sha sha, what's the vibe? Some fish or mammal? Don't mind, the witch is there. I've been thinking what you think about me, thinking maybe. Do you wanna get a drink with me? Do you wanna get a drink with me? I got a little bit of sex appeal. Do you wanna get a drink with me? Do you wanna come home with me? Do you wanna come home with me? I got a little bit of sex appeal, and she said, La plume de ma tante, et c'est le bureau de mon oncle, le papier de mon oncle, et c'est le bureau de ma tante. Hot dog, that sailor boy, he got some fancy feet. Chopin on a digital file to set your mind at ease. Shoe shine like summertime, yo meanie mighty mo. Chiang Mai, he's a friend of mine, everybody give a dog a bone. Do you wanna get a drink with me? Do you wanna get a drink with me? You got a little bit of sex appeal, do you wanna get a drink with me? Do you wanna come home with me? Do you wanna come home with me? I got a little bit of sex appeal, then she said, La plume de ma tante. C'est le bureau de mon oncle, le papier de mon oncle, et c'est le bureau de ma tante. Sex appeal, do you wanna get a drink with me? Do you wanna buy a home with me? Do you wanna buy a home with me? We can raise a little family, then she said, La plume de ma tante.
La plume de ma tante.
Et c'est le bureau de mon oncle.
Le papier de mon oncle.
Et c'est le bureau de ma tante.